5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show. Welcome in. Thanks for hanging out with us. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns here live from the Auction Community Studios, located here in Ahwatukee, Gambo's house, our home away from home for the last few months during this pandemic.
And, forever.
And when we were planning out our show today, this segment in particular was going to be about Devin Booker. And it still is going to be about Devin Booker. But what it was planned to be was a segment on all the praise Devin Booker is getting and all the people who are saying nice things about him and the Phoenix Suns. And if we have time, I promise we're going to get to that, because a lot of people are saying very nice things about Devin Booker and the Suns, and why not? They're 4-0 in the bubble. Draymond Green went on TNT today and said some nice things about Devin Booker himself. He just didn't have anything nice to say about the Phoenix Suns. Here's what I mean.
Obviously, Devin Booker, everybody knows him, but this is a team that's gone down there and gone 4-0 so far.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck, but
wow.
They got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win, because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
He was sitting.
Did Barkley respond? Does anybody know?
I didn't. All I saw was the cut on Twitter that I just played for you. I haven't seen the whole thing to give it any kind of context. They were sitting on the TNT set, and Green was in Shaq's spot. So as you're looking at it on your TV, the far left seat, right? And then Ernie, and then Kenny, and then Chuck. So when he yells, "Sorry, Chuck," he's literally yelling down a desk that's about 50 feet long, right?
Yes.
Hey, sorry down there, Chuck. Sorry if you can see me. I don't know what Barkley said in response. I don't know what any of them said in response.
I would just say, shut up. Shut up.
Is that what you would
just
say?
Shut up. Here's the deal. I mean, as you know, you could obviously that argument would have been good last year. That would have been a good argument last year. Mm-hmm. You're late for the party, Draymond. You're late for the party. Not surprised, though. Not surprised, because, you know, with Clay and Steph out, you couldn't win a basketball game for the Golden State Warriors. Like, I don't think you won one with them. This year's different. They hired Monty Williams. Quality coach. Book respects him. They added veteran players like Ricky Rubio, Dario Saric, Aaron Baines, Frank Kaminsky. They just went out and they added a player at the bubble who's not a best player added at the bubble, Cameron Payne. Best player. Mm-hmm. They've drafted well. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, to build around Devin Booker. They have done everything right. They are trending in the right direction. A year ago, you said something like this. I wouldn't have responded to Draymond Green the way I did on Twitter. A year ago, it's, can't say anything. There are times when you can't say anything. There are. This is not one of those times. This is one of those times to tell Draymond Green to shut the hell up, because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Monty Williams has been hired, not Igor Kokoschkov. Okay, Aaron Baines was they traded for, they traded for Dario Saric, they signed Ricky Rubio,
traded for Kelly Oubre Jr.
Like, there's been a lot of good things. They gave Book a max contract extension. They've got a brand new practice facility coming in, which Draymond may not know, but it'll be the best in the NBA. The Suns' practice facility will be the best one in the entire NBA. It will be. They have a new, you know, they're renovating the arena. Like, there are so many things trending positive for the Phoenix Suns that what I'm just saying is that he's very late to the party. If he said this a year ago, it makes sense. To say now, it doesn't.
See, and to hear you say all that, it makes me feel a little bit better, because I'll be honest with you. I agree with everything you just said. Every single argument you just passionately made about Devin Booker and why the situation is different now than it was a year ago makes sense and is logical and sounds right. And yet still, among Suns fans, is there not this kind of insecure feeling that you have about Devin Booker, this fear, this
no.
worry? Not anymore?
No.
Not at all?
I'm really not worried about that. I was before. But I'm not now.
I think there are some Suns fans who would still disagree with you. I think there are some Suns fans who don't feel as confident about this as you do. I think there are Suns fans who still worry that one day will come that Devin Booker will decide he doesn't want to be here anymore. That fear has not been totally eradicated yet, and it's still there.
They have to continue to take steps. They're not there by any stretch of the imagination. They're not there.
And maybe that's where the fear is that, okay, this is step three of a long journey the Suns have to go on to make sure they keep Devin Booker happy. They're trending in the right direction, but they're not there yet. And until they get to that area where you really, truly don't have to worry about it, like they're a playoff team, they're a playoff team every year, they're a contender for a finals or a championship or even a Western Conference final. Until you get there, and even then, we've seen players around the league who ask off of their teams, right?
Sure.
Even in those moments, Kyrie Irving.
Durant left Golden State.
Right.
Durant left Oklahoma City with Westbrook.
Even in those moments, we see players who want out. So
Kyrie with Boston, right?
All of the arguments are logical and they're sound and they're reasonable, but I think there's an irrational fear among Suns fans, and I feel it sometimes too, that every time somebody like Draymond Green says that about Devin Booker, man, it speaks right to our fear that eventually he will want out. I don't feel that way, but I'm still in fear of it just a little bit. I think a lot of Suns fans feel that way. I don't want to say I speak for everybody, but I think that fear is still out there.
I think they've addressed a lot of the concerns that Devin Booker would have had. A lot. They've got cap space going forward. They've got good players. And I would say this to Devin, like, don't you want to be a part? I mean, you've been through all the bad times. Don't you want to be a part of when it gets good?
Well,
because let's be honest, the fan base here is tremendous.
Sure.
It's tremendous. When they win, this place is going to go crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to rock.
Well, we've seen it just in the last week. Look at how woke Suns fan has been in the last four games, right? Look at how engaged Suns fan has been. This has been a reawakening for Suns fan over the last week. Yeah, it's a great NBA town waiting to be great again. They just haven't had a reason to come out. They haven't had a reason to root for this team. It's been 10 long, dark, depressing, horrible years. I can't blame Suns fans for feeling that way. Devin has said in the past that he wants to be here for the next great Suns team. He's never said he doesn't. Now, people have looked for reasons, whether it's with D'Angelo Russell or people in his family who might have said stuff, or Carl Anthony Towns.
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, the Knicks and the this and the that. But so far out of Devin, he said everything right. It's just every time somebody like Draymond Green says something like what he said today, it sparks up these fears in Suns fans, like, oh my God, what if he does? What if he does? What if he does? And hopefully, you're right. Hopefully, they keep taking all the positive steps they need to take to make sure that day never comes.
There was a time when players were asking out left and right around here. Those days are over. Those days are gone. Okay, Eric Bledsoe wanting out. That's in the past. Markieff Morris, Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic. That was a while ago. Hasn't been anything recently. They are making the right moves. They're headed in. Now they got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried.
I'll tell you what pisses me off, though.
I tweeted Draymond Green.
I know. I tell you what really pisses me off about this is that now the national media, they have just globbed on to what Draymond Green has said.
Oh, sure. I know.
And so instead of this being 4-0 and Devin Booker's great, and the Suns are great, and the Suns are playing really well, and they're the story of the bubble.
Yeah.
Now every major website, every major sports outlet, hey, Draymond Green said this about Devin Booker. Let's play the crap out of it and get a bunch of clicks and get a bunch of attention. And I hate that Draymond Green, with one 30-second soundbite, has been able to turn the conversation nationally away from the Suns being 4-0 and Devin Booker's great start to.
Great point.
I hate that.
Great point.
I hate that Draymond
Fantastic.
Green, you jerk, you just hijacked the conversation nationally about the Phoenix Suns. Thank you very much. You know what? I might tweet at Draymond Green. I'm so pissed at him for this.
I told him to shut up. I said, do us a favor and shut up. I said, so Money Green, what reason does Book have? And I tagged him in his tweet.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it because, as I told you, basketball players don't know how to fight.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, based off of the other teams in the race for the 8th seed in the Western Conference, the Suns will need to run the table to keep their playoff hopes alive. And tomorrow against the Heat, the Suns have already caught a break. We'll tell you what it is next on the Burns and Gambo show. All right, so it was not a good day. It has not been a good 24 hours or so for the Phoenix Suns in the bubble, despite the fact that they're 4-0, and they're getting all this national love for how they're playing and how Booker's playing. And the reason why, Blazers won last night. They beat the Nuggets. The big one today was the Memphis Grizzlies finally won a game. They just
blew them out.
Clobbered the Thunder, 121-92.
You know they were down by, I believe, 18 in that game in the first quarter.
Yeah,
I believe they were down by 18.
I know at the end of the first.
Because I remember getting excited for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know at the end of the first they were down 37-25, so that sounds right. They were probably down by about that much. They scored, what, 70 points in the middle two quarters, the second and the third, 80 points in the middle two quarters when it was, 60. I'm sorry, 60 points. They blew them out. So here's the problem now for the Phoenix Suns as they get ready to take on the Heat tomorrow. The problem for the Suns is this. Memphis, by winning one game, has now put themselves in a position where if they win just one more, the Suns cannot catch them at all. Even if they go 4-0, they can't be caught. The Portland Trailblazers, by winning last night, have put themselves in a position that even if they go 2-2 in their final four games, the Suns would have to go 4-0 to catch them.
And I don't know. I mean, they might go 4-0. I think they've got one game where the Clippers.
The Clippers. Yeah.
Where I'd be like, okay, maybe they get beat there. They're playing the Nets.
Yeah.
They're playing, the Mavs. Their schedule is pretty easy after that Clippers game.
Now, could the Suns go 4-0? They could.
Get some breaks.
Starts with the Heat tomorrow.
And no Jimmy Butler.
No Jimmy Butler, and somebody else wasn't playing for him.
Nunn, the guard.
Okay, yeah.
Is it Kendrick Nunn?
Yeah.
I think it's Kendrick Nunn.
And then Goran Dragic, maybe. I think he's questionable for that game tomorrow. So, you know, but even if 4-0 is what you need to do, you're still going to need help. You're going to need help from Portland going 2-2, and you're going to need help from Memphis not losing another game the rest of the way. And you're going to need help from San Antonio with their win today over the Jazz. They actually passed the Suns once again in the standings. So we'll see what the bubble brings for the Suns this weekend. And, of course, we'll see what the NHL brings this weekend for the Coyotes. After the Yotes eliminated Nashville today in the qualifying round of the playoffs, now we wait to see who their opponent is in the first round and when that best of seven starts. It's either going to be Colorado or Vegas.
Yeah, two good teams. I mean, these are good teams. They played well against Nashville. They did. They played well. That was a good matchup for them. They got great goaltending by Darcy Kemper. He was outstanding. You know, and then some other key players. Garland was very good. Brad Richardson was very good. You know, Kessel wasn't bad at all. You know, Hall. So they got some good play from a lot of their key players, which is important. Now you're going to go play a much better team in Vegas or Colorado. Those two teams are better. Nashville did not have great goaltending. It was just good. And their defense was very shaky, and I think that really helped the Coyotes.
Time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening brought to you by Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. D-backs baseball taking on the Padres. 6:10 first pitch. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, which means we need to set the table for tonight's D-backs game.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try the toasted s'more shake only for a limited time at Sonic. And by 72 Sold, sell your home in 72 hours and net thousands more.
Coming off their first series win of the season, taking 2-3 from the Houston Astros, the Diamondbacks go back to the scene of the opening weekend crime. They're back in San Diego today taking on the Padres, a team that they lost 3 of 4 against to open the season and kind of the beginning of the problems the Diamondbacks had early on in the year. Are those problems behind them? We will see starting tonight. It's your pitching matchup brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURG Simpson.com. Luke Weaver, Zach Davies, the matchup tonight from San Diego.
It was supposed to be Joey Lucchese, but they actually sent him down, and he actually started against the Diamondbacks the last time around when they played, but he's not on the Major League roster. They sent him down to the alternate camp, so Davies, their fifth starter, will get the start, and they will line up both Chris Paddock and Denelson Lamet to go against Arizona Saturday and Sunday. That's their top of the rotation guys. Davey's going to face the Diamondbacks for the first time this year. He came over as part of the trade that got them Trent Grisham from Milwaukee. But he's faced the Diamondbacks enough. He's got five starts against them, 3-2, 4.13 ERA. He's given up 15 runs, 13 earned, on 26 hits and 9 walks in 28 innings. He competes, and he has some experience against Arizona.
Luke Weaver, obviously we've seen kind of a broken record out of him for the first two starts this year. Very good innings, 1-3. And then the second time he faces a lineup, things just get sideways on Weaver.
Yeah, I think this is one of the guys that you would really like to consider an opener for, because he's having a hard time getting through that lineup. A lot of times it's the third time. He'll give you four good innings, and then he'll just fall apart. And that's the concern with Weaver, that he's falling apart, you know, later. You know, after the first three innings seem to be good, then he gets into some trouble in either the fourth or the fifth. I don't know if they'll end up going with an opener at some point with him. If he doesn't figure this out soon, then that could be an option. He's got to pitch better, you know, when he gets to that lineup the third time around.
Behind a great performance from Zach Gallen yesterday and an offense that's kind of woken itself up, the Diamondbacks did take 2 of 3 from the Houston Astros. The lineup today is mostly the same. Christian Walker is the designated hitter. Jake Lamb is back in the lineup today. He is hitting eighth. He's playing first base. Here's Torrey Lovello pregame on having Lamb back in the lineup.
I have Jake Lamb in there today. You know, I had discussions with you guys about inserting him in and, you know, give him an opportunity to show exactly what he could do. We know, I know that I made the decision to kind of take out some of his playing time. Take away some of his playing time. So these are those moments where I want to insert him and let him run and see what he could do.
I wish everybody out there listening could see the look Gambo just gave me a second ago. That was classic.
I think there are guys that deserve opportunities, you know, to go out there and play. You know, I really like what Andy Young has done. And, you know, LeCastro, you know, gives him some speed in the lineup if he can get on base. I don't know that Jake is the one guy that I want to go to battle with. I really don't. I mean, I like him. I pull for him. But, you know, I just can't. It's been a long time. It's been two-plus years of him not being able to hit.
Yeah, it has been. And I don't know how many more chances like this Jake Lamb's going to get. So if he wants to continue to get chances taken on him, he needs to start producing with these moments. If he doesn't do something significant tonight, I don't know how many more chances like this he's going to get
the future. You got to think he's running out of chances. I'm in some ways, I'm surprised he hasn't run out of chances already, to be honest with you.
The keys to the game brought to you by Sand Chevrolet. Sand Chevrolet, your home team for no payments until 2021 on select models. Head to sandchevrolet.com for details.
This is the Luke Weaver game. It really is. I mean, that's a good lineup. They've got some good offensive players. They could, you know, they could hit the hell out of the ball. We've seen them, you know, with it. I mean, Luke Weaver has to pitch better, especially in the middle part of that game. He's got to be able to get past that fifth inning and not get knocked out. Give this team, you know, a little bit of a boost. Yeah, I mean, he's really struggled with Luke Weaver. So, yeah, struggled for a word right there. But, yeah, I think the key really is Luke Weaver. I mean, the offense seems to be back, but Luke Weaver can't give up 6-7 runs tonight.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show, off a little early today. We're back with you Monday at 2 o'clock here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a great night, everyone.